Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. A woman gets a live squirrel stuck in her hair.
What?
This is a Facebook video going around. Do we know where the woman's from?
Nutville.
No.
Yeah.
The trees. No idea.
Right. How does that happen?
Like, right.
Did you... I want to know more. So there's just a clip on Facebook.
Yeah.
And it doesn't say where she's from, what state, what town. It doesn't say what happened. Like, was she napping on a hammock?
Yeah.
And the squirrel dropped into her hair? Was she playing with the squirrel and it crawled into her hair? We have no idea.
If you saw the hair, though, my God, like a squirrel's not there.
Yeah, there's a lot of black hair.
Yes, yeah. It is. Yes.
Nice hair.
Very nice hair.
Very nice.
Very thick.
Right. And the squirrel loved it.
Yes. Yeah, so much so it held on for a while.
Yeah.
Yep.
So here's some audio from the video.
Try to get that. Yeah. Wait. Oh,
when your boss goes,
just so you know. Oh, did you beep tone this?
She said stuck in her hair.
No, but did you beep tone it?
I did not.
Okay, there's a problem then.
Yes, we have a problem. Big time.
That's my fault. I should have said beep tone this. Mm. Right?
Well, just figure.
Figure. you're throwing some good ones out today.
Figure if there's a squirrel in your hair, you're not going to be speaking properly.
Just like, do you have a squirrel in your hair right now?
No, I have a bug in my ass.
All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to hit the dump button. So if you're listening on the app or on Chaz and AJ TV or the web or however you're doing it, you'll hear it. But if you're listening to the radio, there's going to be just this big gap of like, it's just not going to make sense.
Right.
But what you're hearing that
did this sound here?
Is someone on a phone. So they have someone like on FaceTime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not 911.
No.
It's not an animal expert.
A vet or something.
A veterinarian.
Something.
It's a hairdresser.
Right. Because that's who you call. The hairdresser.
Right. Right.
Immediately.
Who are you going to call?
I was going to do that.
Hairdresser!
No, that will suck. I won't.
There's something weird stuck in your hair. Who are you going to call? Hairdresser!
I wouldn't think to call the hairdresser.
No.
I ain't afraid of no squirrel. Either you like the hair.
So that's the voice you hear through the speaker. You hear a hairdresser. And the woman's freaking out. She's got a squirrel, a live squirrel, stuck in her hair.
Try to get that. Yeah. Wait. Oh,
when your boss got a squirrel stuck in her hair. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I don't want to know that. He's going further in and back to the other side.
Wait, I'm going to need you to try to lay down so he can
lay down, Becca. Lay on the ground. Just lay on your left
side. Hold on.
Lay on the ground.
When your boss has a squirrel stuck in her hair.
Yeah.
I like how she had to caption it live.
Right.
Like, this is what you're watching, people.
Right.
Yeah.
Those who are wondering.
I'm not going to help my boss.
No.
I'm going to put it on Facebook.
I'm going to narrate.
I was waiting for someone to yell world star.
Right.
World star.
The squirrel is yelling. Star. You just can't tell.
This is much better than calling for help on like a 911. Let's just have three people talk at one time.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm scared of squirrel.
Also, in the clip, there's the girl that has a little stick and is poking the squirrel, so the squirrel is moving into different parts of her hair.
Right. Is it a stick or a pencil? It's like a pencil.
Oh, okay. It's something.
Yeah. A branch or something. It's kind of hard to tell, but like, there's no gloves here.
No.
There's no kind of like, you know, specific, like the, you know, they have like that pole with like the little noose on the end.
They call it a snare. That's a snare.
Yeah. That's right. The animal control pole.
Right. Because no one usually rounds up a squirrel.
No.
Right.
But they don't have any of these things.
But it's true. So it's like on her shoulder and then like halfway into her hair. And then as they start poking with the stick, the thing's like, oh, well, I'll just go deeper into this nest.
Right, there from this damn stick.
And then you can't even see it. Like it crawls in. It's like, wow, it's completely gone in her hair.
Yep.
So he can try to crawl out your hair,
oh,
see?
Oh, my God. Let him try to crawl out.
Okay.
All right, he's hanging down. He's hanging.
Nope, he's trying to get
it. Beg pardon?
This thing's
crawling.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Are you recording this?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Get him out. Oh, my God. Meg, grab him.
Just keep doing that.
Oh, my God. Give me a
so they're like kind of chasing the squirrel around her neck now, which is under the squirrel's under her hair. So you really can't see the squirrel.
No.
And they're chasing it around her neck.
All right, she had a real ponytail.
The big piece of advice they've had for her so far is lay down.
Lay down. Yeah. Right. So the squirrel can jump off.
Which isn't bad. Like, get close to the ground.
Right.
So the thing might just say, all right, I'm out of here.
Here's an idea. Grab some acorns or nuts and put it around her.
Right.
Or, you know, cover your face, you know, so it doesn't go to your eyes.
That's the one thing I thought that she wasn't doing that I would have been doing. Like, I'm covering my face.
Yeah.
Also, this person holding the phone, I would never be friends with them again after this. I'd be like, you need to come and hold all of the hair that the squirrel's not in away from the squirrel while I'm covering my face.
Or you wait till the next time they have a problem and you film them.
Yeah.
Gives a whole other definition to holding
right,
her hair back.
Right, through a house fire. I'm going to film you. We're good. I'm going to film you. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to film you
now. She comes in to work the next day and just throws a squirrel at someone. Right there. Now it's your turn.
Right. Meet Mr. Nutsy.
I was waiting for a time where the tail would just come out of the back of her head. It's like, oh, it looks like she's got one of those caps on.
Looks the 80s. It's a rat tail.
But you're right. There's like three or four girls around. There's only one with a little pencil that's standing as far away as she can. Like, poke, poke, poke.
Yeah, I'm gonna poke the rodent.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Metaphor.
Give me a t-shirt or something. I don't have anything.
I'll grab him with a shirt. I just don't have
anything. Oh, my God.
Hey, try to lay your head down on the ground.
So we have the hairdresser on the phone trying to help us out here.
Now,
all right, Becca, let him just
I like this girl. She's excellent in a news situation. Kaylee, make notes.
She should be a reporter. Yeah, she's calm under pressure. She's calm. Yeah.
She's everything, you know, if you're just tuning in, just so you know, boss has a squirrel in her hair, and that's what we're doing here. We're live on Facebook.
But I like this other woman is literally telling them, someone get me a t-shirt or a dish rag or something. I can try to grab this thing. I just don't want to get it with my bare hands. No one moves.
No, nobody.
They just start laughing
well,
at her.
You can't stop filming.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And the hairdresser's got to keep on consulting.
All right, there's only a few seconds left.
So we have the hairdresser on the phone trying to help us out here.
Now,
all right, Becca, let him just roll. Yeah, Becca, roll.
Listen to me. Yes, wait, stay just like that and keep pulling by his claw. Yes, just keep working that.
So the advice that they're getting from the hairdresser is not professional advice. She's
about
a hairdresser.
Hair? Nope.
Yeah.
She's not an expert at removing squirrels from hair.
No.
And then if she is, like, where is this hairdresser place? I'm not going there.
Just don't damage the do. I worked on it all day yesterday.
But she has a clear vision as to what should happen. Like, all right, lay down, keep rolling.
As you can see, he's holding onto your hair with his claw, so get his claw. Yeah, right. We got that much.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you very much for your help.
But the people that are on site are such idiots, they have to call a hairdresser and use like FaceTime to like, we don't know what to do.
Well, she's from Cutting Tree Hair Cutters. Mm.
All right, just a few seconds left.
Okay,
roll a little more.
Keep rolling so he can reach the ground.
Yeah, without rolling on top of him.
Is somebody recording this?
Yes!
Okay, yes, perfect. Now wait, make sure you don't let him get in any of that other hair.
Okay.
Like, Rebecca, keep your hand over your hair that's on the ground.
How much hair she have? Other hair?
Oh, my God.
Try to keep his paws out of her hair.
And eventually the thing runs out.
Yeah. Wow. And then she picked up and put in a tree.
The girl's got a freaking squirrel stuck in her hair. Are you guys recording me?
Yeah, really? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, here's the next recording. Me beating your face in.
Yeah. Wow.
A lot happened there. That squirrel's like, holy crap, man.
There's so much more I want to know. Like, how did the squirrel get there?
Just wanted to make a house in that nest you had over there.
Yeah, and now she's like, I feed the squirrel. Oh, I got to pick him up. And you deserve all this.
Exactly. So like a gust of wind that fell out of the tree, just landed there.
Exactly.
Wind.
Right. She had a hat made of nuts.
Exactly. Any of that stuff. All good.
Yeah.
All
made
good
a
reasoning.
Nest in her hoodie. She went to put it on. Yeah. Oh, no.
Right. Yeah. I ain't seen it in there. Oh,
Jennifer's on the line. Are you still there?
Yeah. Hi.
What did you have stuck in your hair?
It got her.
Hello?
It
sounds like her cell phone.
Hello?
Whoever it was to shut her phone off.
I didn't ask her if it was stuck in there right now.
It hung up.
That could have been a problem.
Right. Now we'll never know, Chaz.
Well, no.
She just held for 5 minutes while she was getting ready for work. So I'm sure she's pleased right now.
Whoops.
Wasn't my fault. I didn't hang up.
No, you did not. Squirrel did.
Dan Dubuque, MMA fighter, featherweight. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, graduated out of UConn. And how did you get into fighting?
I was very competitive. I played every sport growing up, and I'm smaller, so I didn't really get to, you know, advance and collegiate level at UConn. And I liked watching the UFC.
So you got pissed and just started beating people up.
Yeah, I don't get like any that. Time. The basketball team said no. He said, "All right, that's it. I'm taking it on you, people."
Yeah, it was a little. So
when was your first fight?
I think 2012.
Holy crap.
Wow.
And it turned pro in, I think, 2015 or 16.
And what's going through your mind when you climb into a cage and it's just you and the other person and only one person's going to walk out with a win?
Believe it or not, it's peaceful and calm to me, as weird as it is. I train so much that at that moment I'm ready. I'm a lot more scared, say, in the back room before the fight, hour or two before, or in the weeks leading up, I get nervous. But actually walking into the cage, it's just, all right, it's time to go. I'm ready.
Yeah. It's about time.
Yeah.
Let's
do
this.
Yeah. Let's get over with it.
And you guys trash talk each other when you're staring at each other?
Some guys do. That's not my style. I've never been a trash talker. I mean,
you seem very polite.
He actually compliments.
He came in. He was very nice.
Yeah, right. That's a great pair of trunks you're wearing right there.
Yeah, like he's very, very, like he brought us cookie dough.
Nice. Very nice. Yes.
Yeah, he's like just a very nice person.
Where do you
muster up the energy to like pummel someone's head in?
I don't know. Just like I said, just the competitive spirit. I mean, I don't know. I come from a pretty good family, and my character is important to me, so that trash talk and stuff, I don't get involved with that. I'm the type of guy that I'd rather just, we're going to fight.
Yeah, so, let's see how this goes. Yeah, I don't need to talk to you.
Yeah, so we're going to fight.
I'm just going to hit
be
you.
A winner.
Yeah, touch my fists and feet. Boom.
Yeah,
done.
Yeah. We'll see how this goes.
Exactly.
You can say all you want.
And then let's have a beer after.
Yeah, know,
exactly.
That's my style.
Have you done that?
All the time, yeah.
Oh, really?
Like
after
a fight, you guys just have a beer?
Usually, yeah, that's my goal anyway.
If you look so unswollen,
really?
Most of the guys end up being pretty cool after the fight. Sometimes they talk trash before, but I've had a pretty good record career to this point, so usually I'm the victor, so I don't mind buying the beer
and hanging
out a little bit.
And you're reading somebody's face, might as well buy him a beer.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. At least I could some coal for the swelling.
It's awkward, though, right? You're at the bar,
yeah,
and then the bartender comes up and goes to the guy next to you, "What happened to your face?"
Yeah, I need a beer and a straw, please. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you.
You're originally from Waterbury?
Yes.
How old are you?
33.
And you're fighting May 31st?
Yep, in Hartford.
Who are you fighting?
I'm fighting a guy named Bruce Boyington out of Maine. He's the champ right now.
Boyington?
Boyington.
Boyington, yep.
Right.
Boyington.
Boyington. That's the sound he makes when he hits the camera. Boyington.
what is your assessment of this fight?
The matchup is good for me stylistically. On paper, at least myself and my team think so. You know, I'm ready for it. I think it's my time. He's been in the game. He's a veteran, and I think it's, you know, he's kind of.
How long has he been in?
He's 39, so he's been in for probably, he's been fighting for 15 years or so.
Wow.
He's got a lot longer. He's got more fights than me and stuff like that. So I'm on the rise, and I think his time has passed a little bit.
Oh, nice.
He's trying to put it away.
Even though he's the champ, I think.
Exactly right.
And you're being respectful.
Yeah. Exactly right.
So if you win this fight, what happens to your career?
Hopefully the next step is the UFC.
That's big.
Yeah, it is big. I believe we were supposed to get in after the last fight, get a big opportunity possibly with them, and it fell through. And hopefully this is the one that's going to put me there.
Nice.
So,
have you ever been hit so hard you didn't know where you were?
No, not luckily.
You didn't see the little fighters running your hand.
Like you get punched so hard, you're like, where am I?
What day is this?
Why am I in a ring with no shoes on?
Why am I fighting four guys?
I thought these were the basketball tryouts.
Right. Cookie dough?
It's like dying. Yeah, you want some cookie dough?
Cookie dough!
Did you, how many fights have you lost?
I've lost two as a pro.
And how many fights have you had as a pro?
As a pro, 10. So 8-2.
That's a good record.
I've never been knocked out as an amateur or a
really?
Pro. So, yep.
Did you ever get your nose
knock
broken?
On wood again. I have never got my nose broken.
Oh, so no. I was going to ask what that feels like. So I imagine it does not feel good. You ever break somebody's nose?
Probably. I don't really, yeah.
Yeah, like how's
he doesn't evaluate what's broken. He just buys them beer.
Just, here. We just start drinking.
A little something for your nose.
Right. Oh, that's painful. Broken nose. You broke a toe?
Yes.
Yeah,
you broke head? A foot.
On someone's face?
But wait, have you broken a big toe?
Yeah.
And that really never goes away, does it?
No.
Like
it
you
doesn't.
Can reactivate that with one kick.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
I've broken the same like foot toe area like 3 times already. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So I used to take karate. I broke a big toe on a bag.
Right.
And it comes back all the time.
Exactly.
Like you just do something and it's like, well, there it is.
Yeah, karate toe.
Yeah, karate toe.
Karate toe, man.
I have Krakatoa.
Yeah. Krakatoa a couple of times.
Ashley, your boyfriend used to be a professional fighter?
Yep. Yep, he was a pro. He won a belt in 2012, actually. So it seems like he was getting out of the game while you were going in, maybe.
Okay.
He was a featherweight as well.
Do you remember his name?
Do I remember his name?
Yeah.
His name is Eric.
So if I win this featherweight belt, then is he coming in to challenge me? Or
No, he's retired. He Ashley won't let him.
He's going to come out of retirement.
His biggest fight would be with Ashley.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Well, he actually stopped fighting competitively before we met, so we've been dating for about 2 years. But, I've been to a lot of fights with him. I've seen his friends fight. I know his friends. They're such nice guys. But I just,
Of course, some of his friends, because Dan probably knows them.
Oh, God, let's see. I know Nick Newell is fighting the same night you are, right?
Nick Newell's one of the coaches, yeah.
Yes, and Nick has a message.
He's got one arm.
Yep.
We've had Nick on.
Yeah, Nick's a friend of ours.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And Nick had a message. He said, got to mention Delicious.
Delicious.
That's my cookie dough business.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Delicious?
Yeah. I told Nick we would do it because I don't want Nick to beat me up.
And one of the lady fighters, Jessica Miele, is that how you say her last name?
Yep.
Yeah. She's trained with Eric before, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, she's
here's a mental note. Never go to one of Ashley's picnics. Turn the freaking music down, you idiot.
What the hell happened?
But, I mean, I just can't even imagine being I've seen the girlfriends and the wives go and watch their boyfriends or husbands, in the cage. And
you're engaged, right?
I am, yeah.
And how does your girl react to that? How is that for her?
The usual.
She's usually so many deep by the time I fight. She doesn't.
Now, what do you mean by that? Drinks?
Drinks, oh, yeah.
What do you mean by that?
I swear, one time I came out and she looked surprised like I was out to see her. And I'm like, you missed the fight, didn't you? And she did. She's just.
No.
That's so good. She's supportive.
Yeah.
When I'm going through my training and everything. But yeah, on fight night, she likes to
get hammered.
Stress. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
She goes down, not him.
Have you ever met a nicer MMA fighter?
No. They've all been nice.
They're all nice. Now, you expect them to have a disposition
Nick.
Of.
Nick's going
to
beat me up tonight.
I'll punch you in the face.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no.
Dan nice. Dubuque is in the studio, and he's an MMA fighter fighting May 31st. And if he wins this one, he could go all the way.
Yes.
But such a nice guy.
Very.
And then some of the things, if you wrote all this down on a piece of paper, it wouldn't make sense to me. Right. Let's see here. He makes cookie dough.
Right.
That's your business?
Yes, it is.
Nice. Mm-hmm. See that? Oh, yeah. But he pounds that dough. My dough went.
So this is all on one piece of paper.
Yeah.
All right. So MMA fighter makes cookie dough, which we should try right now. What's the name of your business?
It's Delicious. It's
yep. That's right.
Delicious.
We just went over that, didn't we?
How soon until your nickname, fighting nickname, is just Delicious Dan?
Why isn't your name Delicious?
Well, some people say Doughboy. They call it
Doughboy. That's good for the ladies. He's 50. I'm still fine. You know, Delicious.
But when you're training for a fight, you can't have any of
this.
You
can't touch it. Nope. And I make it all myself. So it's.
Well, he touched it. He just beats it.
Yeah, I just can't. I can't have any of it. It's tough.
What kind of diet are you on?
Very strict. I have a whole a nutritionist that lays out a plan for me, and it's no processed foods, no sugar, refined sugar.
No sugar?
No.
No pizza?
No pizza, no, unfortunately.
Alcohol?
Unfortunately, that's the one thing that I miss the most, no alcohol.
Damn.
That's why after the fight.
How long?
Buys beers.
About 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay.
That's not terrible.
It is terrible.
Okay. I was trying to help you out here.
No, it is terrible. Do it for one weekend.
My God, it sucks so bad.
And then what are you doing? Running, push-ups, weights, Everything.
Yep.
So boxing, that's your whole life. Like
wrestling.
It's like an 8-hour day, a 10-hour day. How long
12,
do you train?
15.
12 to 15 a day.
Because I have to go to work too, so I train in the morning. I'll go to the gym right after this. Then I'll go to my shop and do stuff there. Then I'll go back to the gym at night.
See, that's why he ends the fight so early, because he's been through all this crap. He wants a freaking beer and he wants a pizza.
Yeah,
so you get in. I'm going to beat the guy. You're done in 60 seconds. Exactly. He actually has a slice and a beer as he's leaving the ring.
Holy crap. Now, let's just say you make it, you go all the way. What do MMA fighters make per fight? I know it depends on what level you're at, but let's just say you're featherweight and you're at the top of your game. What does someone like that make?
So the top of, like, UFC level top, like champion?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, before, like, the Conor McGregor, I'm sure you've heard of him. He's kind of an outlier.
McGregor.
But
yeah, that's a whole nother level.
He's an outlier, but the champ now probably makes around $1 million a fight, I would say.
All right. Oh. So they make dough again.
And he'll fight like 3 or 4 times a year. Three times.
Yeah, different kind of dough.
3 or 4 times a year. $1 million a fight. Right.
About $1 million, maybe a little more, yeah.
So it was a big deal when Conor McGregor was making like $3 million a fight right before he did the Floyd Mayweather thing, and then was like, yeah, I can't go backwards now. Like, I can't go back to even – they were going to offer him, I think, around $5 million, and he was like, it's not enough. And all the other fighters were like, dude, like, just take it so one of us can get the other half of it. Like,
yeah.
When you're coming off $100 million, $5 million doesn't seem that much. Yeah.
And you can't, like, fight, like, every week, right? Like, you have to fight to, like months away, right?
Yeah. So now, are you worried that your character of being a nice guy and not trash talking might affect the amount of money you can make? Because Conor McGregor was a thing, because not only was he a good fighter, but he was able to stir the pot.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He's so kind of a douche, basically, is.
Already with the resume I've built and kind of like where I'm ranked in New England and all that, guys that have been kind of behind me that trash talk or kind of promote themselves in a different way have gotten better opportunities. I'm kind of way in, but I'm just not going
to
like...
But you're not going to go out of your character Good for you. Yeah.
But you mentioned that, like, after a fight, you have beers with the person, become friends. You ever actually fight a friend? Like, someone you were friends with beforehand?
No,
like,
I haven't.
Dude, we're totally fighting, man. This is awesome. I can't wait to punch you out.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tickle you.
Oh, no, dude. No, you know about that. No, you dare, man. I will punch you harder.
So we met Dan through Jim Lauber, who does weekends here and on our sister station of Fox.
Yeah.
Don't you hate his hair?
Yes, really.
I don't. Yeah. I love everything about
him. He's got freaking rock. He's got rock star hair.
His hair is an MMA fighter.
That hair.
Oh, yeah.
I see him. I'm like, Jim, what the hell?
He told me the secret.
What is the secret?
Cookie dough.
Yeah, he rubs it in his
hair. Does he grease it back with cookie dough?
I think so, yes.
Can I ask what the milk incident was?
The milk incident.
The milk incident.
No, that was in grammar school. So Jim, there was a hothead in our class, and Jim and him really butted heads a lot. So one time, Jim slid a chocolate milk container right under his seat when he was about to sit down. And he squished it, and it sprayed like across a whole table of girls.
Oops.
And they all wear white tops, so it was just their tops were just covered in brown, and it was just the kid lost his mind. And it was just a hilarious, moment. And
so we had potheads in my school, like hotheads.
I'll remember not to piss Jim off.
I'm like, dude, let me lick off your shirt.
Then who's your agent? This guy looks like he could be a bodyguard, too.
Carlos Correa. Oh, yeah, he's
my God, he's got a fighter name.
He's a fighter. He is a fighter.
Oh, all right. So, he looks like a fighter.
He's fought for Bellator, so.
Wow.
Carlos. Yeah, I went and I was like, oh, an agent. He's going to probably be a nerdy guy with glasses.
Yeah, right. Oh, no.
Nope.
Oh,
yeah, he can handle himself.
Exactly. Oh, good. Right.
And your music here. I'm looking at this. Celine Dion?
Celine Dion.
Everything.
Like Titan?
Oh, yeah. I like everything. Rap, rock, you name it. Celine Dion.
Do you like
sure.
train to this?
Honestly, I do.
Really?
Do you
punch slower?
No, I don't know.
Really?
Everything.
Wow.
I listen to Whitney Houston. It doesn't matter. I love music.
See, Whitney, I can see a little more aggressive than Celine Dion.
That's interesting.
Huh. Yeah.
I mean, I love everything too.
Yeah,
you draw the line here.
Well, no, you're still in the room right now.
This isn't something I would. This isn't something I would listen to.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I don't. I didn't mind it in the context of the movie.
Right. Was it a movie? No.
Yeah. It's called Titanic.
I was paying attention to that part.
I guess when you're an accomplished fighter, you can just admit these things. Like, we had Chuck Liddell, and
you tell him
he painted his toenails.
Yeah, right. This is true. You tell him no.
That's right.
Exactly. They look good on you.
Yeah. And then you did ballet?
Yeah, and tap dance. But not a lot of people, even good friends, won't even know that. I wrote it on the questionnaire, but I haven't told a lot of people that. My mom made us, my brother and I do it, and my sister, when we were younger.
Oh, like family functions? You guys did like a tap dance routine?
No.
Ballet.
We did actual classes.
Oh.
Actual classes, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. See, that made him want to be a fighter.
That might be an interesting take for you. If you don't want to be mean and aggressive and a trash talker, you could come in as like a ballet dancer.
And he goes to a spin.
With cookie dough.
Right.
And then you do that thing on the toes. What's that called when you have
the plié?
Yeah, you could do a plié.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Plié.
Yeah, you do one of those. What do you think?
I don't think so. I don't think.
He's gonna see what he's got. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm good.
I deserve to get punched in the face if I do that.
Yeah, you know? The last thing you want to do is take advice from us.
We really wish you well.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Fight.
Yes.
Oh, you just seem like a really nice guy. I've only known you for 20 minutes, but yeah. I'm rooting for you.
Oh, big time, man.
We want you back. All
right? I'd love to
bring
come back.
The belt
hopefully
back
with a
you.
Win.
Yes. Yeah.
Bring the belt back.
Exactly. More cookie dough.
If I lose, they'd be like, we're not having that loser back on the show. He's done now.
Oh, no. Bring the cookie dough.
Yeah, you're not going to lose.
Yeah, because then we could all eat cookie dough together.
Right.
All right, Dan Dubuque, MMA fighter, fighting May 31st. People can buy tickets for this, right?
Yep, and I actually have a couple tickets to give away if you guys want to do a call-in type deal.
My boss hates when I do that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take the tickets.
Okay, sorry about that.
No, I'll give them out somehow.
Okay.
Right.
But we'll link up at WPLR.com if you want to go to this fight. All the information will be there. Dan, good luck.
Yes.
Thank you very much. It's been an honor to
thanks,
be on your show.
Oh, please, and thanks for this cookie dough.
Seriously, man.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Brian Foley's in studio. Great friend of the show. I almost want to say family.
Yes.
And
fan.
Listen to this resume. Retired deputy chief, former chief of detectives, Hartford Police. Former investigator, Fox 61. Former.
Well, I got another day.
A lot of formers.
What happened?
A few days. So my old boss, the police chief in the city of Hartford, he had retired, and Governor Lamont called him and asked him to be the commissioner of the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection, which oversees a lot of divisions, including the state police. And he reached out to me a couple months ago, and we talked about a few different things and getting the band back together. We had some great successes in Hartford, just some amazing successes, not just as you saw in the media with transparency and really trying to turn the page and advance law enforcement transparency, but also in the community and developing relationships in the community and bonds with the police department. We're going to look to do the same kind of thing on a statewide level.
Yeah, you had a good team.
We did have a good team. You bet. And it kind of, I'll skip as to
be
why.
Like if me and AJ broke up and I got a gig, I'd call him and say, come on back.
Let's
go.
The band back together.
Right.
Exactly.
I come running.
Yeah, you're like Batman and Robin.
Exactly, right.
Which one's Batman?
He's definitely Batman. He's the brains of the operation. Yep.
Okay.
He drives the car, basically.
I'm the big mouth. He's the brains.
Right. Okay, so he's going to run the show and you're going to kind
of
do the same thing?
You bet.
Someone needs to talk to the media. It's going to be you.
No, that's not necessarily how it's going to go. For certain things, yeah. I'm not looking to do like what Paul Vance's role with the state police years ago. I'm not looking.
Oh yeah. So Kelly Grant does a great job with that.
I think she's out of there too. I think she's doing recruitment now, but she still does some media stuff.
Who's
going to
do the media stuff?
Well, right now there's a few guys in there doing it. So it's just.
We called the state police now and said we wanted to talk to someone, Kelly Grant wouldn't show up.
I don't think so. No, I don't. I believe not. It's Dwight Washington, who's a friend and a good guy, and so we'll all work closely together.
Man. I got to learn this. I got to know this guy because if I ever got pulled over, I was going to say I know Kelly Grant.
At first, it was going to be a hand puppet, but they said no.
Now I'm going to say I know Brian Foley.
I think all those will work pretty well for you. So.
Out of the car! Out of the car!
Are you saying that with air quotes? Or,
exactly.
Out of the car!
Right, exactly. Yeah, don't do it in Hartford.
Oh, man. Fox 61 had to be so bummed.
They were great.
You were so good in that role.
Thank you so much. And we had great success and so much positive feedback and the numbers were starting to borne out for us, so we were happy with how it went. And such a gutsy move by Liz, our news director there, to make that move, and then the success that came.
We knew immediately it was going to be good.
Yeah.
The only thing I feared is that, well, maybe he'll be too vanilla.
Yeah.
Like not get into. Yeah, because because when you're a deputy chief and you're a spokesperson for Hartford Police Department, there's just kind of like there's got to be a sheen on it.
Yeah.
And then from the very first report of you in downtown New Haven where all those people were dropping like flies.
You bet.
Yep.
I was like, this guy's a reporter.
They had sent me down.
He's breaking news, getting interviews.
They sent me down. They're like, go to New Haven and see if you can talk to somebody, you know, maybe that knows something about the narcotics issue or the overdoses. And I'm like, I'll find somebody who overdosed if you'd like.
Right.
You know, I know where to look. And sure enough,
We did.
Right. Yeah. You have cop skills.
I'll get him on air. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
It's easy. Check the floor. Yeah,
you know how to find people.
Maybe 20 minutes it took me, and we had him, and he was great. And,
but what's interesting is when you're a cop and playing clothes, that's one thing, but now you got a guy with a camera with you.
Oh, yeah. No, I walked away. I left him. I said, I'll be back, guys.
Oh.
I left him in the car. You bet.
I'm going in.
Smart.
Yeah. Cover me.
Leave me alone. I'll be back in a little while.
I'm going to go fishing.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to infiltrate, and I'm going to get right in the gang.
Holy crap.
Gang, yes.
Oh, let me ask you. There's been some police things in the news.
Oof.
Some really, you know, when I say things, I don't mean disrespect. I mean some very
sensitive.
Yeah, some tough stories.
Right.
How do you, as a former cop, handle reporting on a story like a police shooting?
Chaz, that was, you know, I've done plenty of police shooting stories since, unfortunately, since I've been at Fox 61. The last two have been very challenging for me personally. You know, I mean, losing friends in other police departments who, you know,
really?
Because I have an opinion, you know, and that, you know, maybe this wasn't done perfectly and maybe the tactics weren't great. But as a police officer, coming out and saying that, it's almost as if, like, now I'm a traitor. Now, look, if you run from the cops, that's an inherently dangerous position to take, and it's wrong to run from them. But it doesn't necessarily mean you should pay with your life. And as a police officer, you know somebody's going to run from you. People are going to run from you. So do you want to escalate those situations and make it a life or death situation? And so just kind of work and work on tactics. And then with the overall problem is, you have one side saying the cops are always wrong and the other side saying the cops are always right. There's a middle ground in there in between.
Yeah, and we don't see all the good things and all the great takedowns and all the great busts. They don't videotape that and play it like 57 times in an hour. You know, I got to say, like, we always are on the side of the cops.
Always.
But when I saw that New Haven shooting, I saw the cop running and then shooting across the car.
Yep.
Into the passenger side, I'm like, oh, man, this is bad. And I don't know what people look for in these investigations, but just looking at it, I'm like, man, that's bad. I normally say, well, that's what, you know, I'll wait until they figure out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I saw it, I'm like, oh, that doesn't look good.
Oh, not good.
And that's exactly how I felt, too. But I said that on air. And, you know, the hard right-wingers, not even cops sometimes, would just come at me saying, you know, how dare you wait for the investigation. I'm like, all right, well, I've investigated hundreds of shootings.
Right.
You know, I know what I'm seeing here. But that being said,
I liked what the mayor said. He's like, yeah, I don't know. You know, they're going to investigate, but I've seen enough to know he shouldn't have a gun. Yeah.
And he's scared. He's running scared and shooting. So I don't think his intent was to murder somebody. I just think his psychological frame of mind going into a suspected armed robber thing, this is Hamden now,
into New Haven. There was a number of mistakes.
Now. Might not have been well prepared for that situation mentally and tactically, and then everything fell apart from there.
Yeah. So, yeah, tough position for you to be in.
Very difficult. Yeah, last couple of weeks. And, you know, I had cops reaching out to me, you know, how dare you? And I'm like, all right, well, I'm sorry. I have an opinion.
I'm a reporter, and
that's
have
my
an
job
opinion.
Now. Yes.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
I'm going back to the other side.
Right, yeah.
I've talked to other cops who, like, off the record.
No cops can say they would have done it the same way. None.
Right. Not one would say, oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yep.
In either of those shootings, no cop would say they'd do it the exact same way.
Yeah.
But
well,
none of them will come out and say it's wrong either.
The Weathersfield one, you did a report, and I thought it was very fair. And you said, well, Manchester handled this right because he had a couple bad instances. And, like, you guys dug up a tape of him doing a bad pullover.
Yep.
And pulled his gun out. He's trying to open the door. It's a minivan. It's a guy unarmed.
Yep.
It's pretty nutty.
You know, if you look at the Manchester records, the supervisors, it's how police supervision is supposed to work. And, you know, they had.
Oh, yeah. They wrote him up.
Everything.
They sent him for training.
They tried to fix him. They brought in a guy, a personal guy, Kevin, this guy Dylan, that goes around the state and teaches de-escalation. And they brought him in, and he did
one-on-one
training.
Oh, that would be good. We got to get him in.
Oh, yeah. He's great. I can connect you with him.
Oh,
he's
AJ
amazing.
And Road Rage.
Yeah, please.
De-escalation.
Yeah, there's only so much
Flanders
you can do.
Oh, come on.
It's not that good.
Have two guys come in then. Bring in a whole freaking team.
Yeah, no, we'll bring in a taser just in case it doesn't work. Let's go with Joanna. You're first.
Hi, good morning.
Hello,
good morning.
Joanna.
How are you?
Good.
So a couple months ago, I was at a traffic light. It was red. I work two jobs. I go from one job to another. And my son called me. I was at the traffic light. Had a quick, like, one-minute check-in with him. And as I was going through the traffic light, when it turned green, I was hanging up with him and putting my phone back in my little cubby on my dashboard. And I guess there was a cop there. He saw me. He pulled me over. And I was respectful. I apologized. I, you know, explained the situation. And as he's, you know, getting my information, these three juveniles come, like, racing down the street on their quads doing wheelies, zigzagging in the traffic, almost hit this car that was going by us, and he just, like, stood there and did nothing.
Well, they weren't on the phone,
like,
that's why.
I'm thinking to myself, he's pulling me over, and he's letting, you know, these kids get away with, I think, what dangerous behavior.
Well, that was his kids, actually, so.
You were way prettier.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, okay, he's just going to give me a warning. And he comes back and gives me a ticket, and I'm like, I was shocked. I'm like, you're giving me a ticket, and you just, like, let these other kids just go by and, you know, do nothing about it?
Well, it's obvious, buy a quad next time.
Yeah.
You can be on the phone on the quad the whole time. No, no problem.
Isn't that the weirdest thing when you're driving through, like, East Haven or New Haven, and then you see a quad going down the street?
Yep.
Like, where? Oh, where did you come from?
Yeah. Summer's here.
Yeah.
So how come he can just let them, you know, do that and not, like, call it in or not do anything? He said something like he can't pursue them or something like that.
Because he's busy.
Exactly.
He's
giving you a ticket. You fell in.
He's busy making his quota by giving me a ticket.
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
He's not going to catch those quads. That's the bottom line. He's not allowed to pursue them either. When they take off from him, you're the low hanging fruit. He's probably on a detail for distracted driving.
Yep.
And unfortunately, to the letter of the law, sitting at a red light holding a phone is technically distracted driving. Not eating a Big Mac in your lap and fries and a Coke, but holding the phone is.
Right.
And so, not that I've ever done.
You were
that.
Easy picking.
I've done
all saying,
four
yeah.
of those things at once, actually. That's it. Low-hanging fruit, I guess, is the easiest way to describe it, and likely he's on a detail for distracted driving.
So probably just pay the ticket and not fight it.
The judge is not going to hear there's quads driving by.
What would a good argument for that be?
What's the point? Pay the darn thing. You know, it's an emergency. You know, your child had an emergency. I'm a mom. That, you know, that's...
Oh, that's good.
That
yeah.
is
Ooh,
good.
That's
you know,
a good one.
You know, you might want to...
I'm going to write that one down for the next time I get pulled
over.
That. Yeah.
I'm a mom.
Right.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, you're
Have
in
a
the
great
running,
one.
You're in the running for the tickets.
Right.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. I like that it was fresh, too. It was like hot off the presses.
Nice.
A couple weeks ago.
That's right. a good one.
Yeah. Did you meet Ashley?
I did meet
yes.
Ashley.
Oh,
nice.
Yes,
the new traffic.
They interrogated her already. Yes, it was amazing.
She says she goes to Hartford every once in a while too. So,
good luck.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, stay out of trouble up there.
Don't lose your car.
No, right. no, it happens occasionally.
It's bright blue. I should find it.
It's a blue.
It's a blue.
It's a blue.
Yeah, so Brian was supposed to call in on Pam's last show, and he never did.
I forgot.
Right.
I'm such a loser. I'm
she
sorry,
She cried
Pam.
And cried and cried.
She did. She cried all the way to the
As long as you call in for me, it's fine.
She said, boy, I hope he has any problems in the water.
I don't know if she picks up the show out in the Bering Sea, wherever she is right now. But
right. Cape May, New Jersey.
Okay.
And periodically, through the course of the day, I'll think, what is she doing now?
Right.
And it's probably running or push-ups or getting yelled at.
Or yelled at or getting yelled at or getting yelled at.
God, God bless her.
Yeah.
I lost my boat.
Yeah.
It's a blue. It's a blue. Hi, I'm not from here. I'm not from this water.
Donnie in Hamden.
Good morning, guys. Love your show.
Thank you.
1978, we lose a football game in Middletown, and I decide that after the game, I'm just going to drink some beers with my buddies, and I get drunk, and I start driving to Hempstead, New York, where my girlfriend goes to school at Hofstra.
Wow.
State policeman pulls me over at Long Wharf, and this is where it gets fun. He asked me if I've been drinking, and I said, absolutely, sir. I've been drinking, going to see my girlfriend, and blah, blah, blah. He goes, let's go out the car. He puts me in the back seat with the dog. And that dog's nose is right in my ear. I'm like, oh, my God. So you must know where that little brick building is after Long Wharf, the state police, like a little tiny barracks there.
Oh, yeah.
So he takes me in there. And he sits me in this most uncomfortable wooden chair. He goes, you sit there. And he put the dog between my legs.
All right.
And he says, I'll be back at 8 o'clock. This is like 1 in the morning.
Mm.
And I swear to God, he turned the heat up. To about 95 degrees.
Oh, so dogs are panting.
And that guy
back in the good old days when you could do stuff like that.
Yeah. Exactly right. No peanut butter for you, Mister. All right, this is a cool night after all. I can do this with her back in Hofstra.
So did you take a DeWe?
He let me go. He handed me my keys and he says, "Do not use the highway to get to your car. It's on Long Wharf." And I'm like, "How do I get there?" He goes, "I don't care."
Nice.
That's a good jail free card. I'd send him a thank you card.
Yeah,
yeah really.
Exactly.
And
a day for the dog.
But 1979, like, what kind of trouble would you get into for a DeWe back then?
I think it looked, like an infraction.
Yeah. Right. It wasn't that ticket. Bad. Yes. I remember cops used to say, all right, I'll follow you home.
Right. You couldn't afford a case.
Or drive safe.
Right. Yeah, actually, yeah. that's a brutally handling it for 1979.
Yeah, really?
That's
right.
Over punishment for 1979.
Seriously, yeah.
A bargain for 2018.
Yeah. Yeah. We've come a long way.
He was awesome in the morning, you know. He was still kind of stern, but he was, I know he was laughing the entire time because I got a feeling he did the same thing when he was 19, 20 years old and, but probably never got caught. But that guy was spot on.
All right, we got it.
Give me a...
All right, Donnie. Anyway. All right, we're going to put you in the running for the tickets.
He's still drunk?
Was it a Maltese or a German? What kind of dog was it?
He locked him in the box.
Lopsobster.
Because Donnie wouldn't stop talking.
No.
I'm leaving you here. Talk yourself
out. Shut
up! I'll be back
talk
at
to
8.
The dog.
Joe from Ansonia, what do you got?
Well, I have one of the dumbest police stories I've ever seen in my life.
Good start.
Who's the dumb one here in this story? You, the police, both?
The police are the dumb ones in this story.
Oh, obviously.
Okay.
I used to drive. Now, I don't work anymore, but I drove from Ansonia to White Plains Airport every day. Okay? For 16 years, I did this. Okay? It's a 50-mile drive each way. I'll try to be very quick on this. But anyway, I would drive back and forth all weird hours. You know, 2 a.m., 5 a.m., it didn't matter. I was a meteorologist. We worked around the clock, and it was strange. But I know that on Route 8, there's one place where there always used to be a speed trap. And I saw the outline of a car, and I always leave the lights off in my car. And as I'm passing this car, and I knew it was a police stop, I made sure I was going 55. So with the window closed, I flip him the bird real quick. There's no way he could have seen it. Next thing I know, the lights are
stupid cops.
See, maybe if you didn't flip him the bird, he wouldn't have pulled you over.
And I'm like, what did you stop me for? He says you have improper illumination on your license plate. I said, what? He says there's improper illumination on the license plate. So what are you talking? You have a quota to meet or something like that? Oh, no, quotas are illegal. We can't do that. Anyway, he goes back to his car. He comes back with a $60 ticket because my license plate light wasn't working.
Yep.
Now, I drive hundreds of thousands of miles on these highways over 10 years, 20 years. You think they give me a warning? Because how are you going to know your license plate light is out? Anyway, he gives me a $60.
So him giving you a $60 ticket, so you're buying a 59-cent bulb, and he's the dumbass?
It gave you middle finger?
Dumbass. Yeah.
But don't worry about it. When I got to work and I just touched the light, it went on.
Aww. There you go, see? Yeah.
So anyway, I haven't paid a ticket in 30 years because I always, I always say, oh, I didn't do it. So I got to a prosecutor. I threw the ticket on her desk, and I said, I want the death penalty for this. She says, why? I said, just to show how stupid it is, I get a ticket for this, and I explained the situation. She said, just be careful out there. And she said, okay, and she let me go. But isn't that kind of dumb?
The middle finger part?
Yeah. I'll give you
the finger part is
giving a cop a middle finger.
Why?
Yes.
Yeah. What was the middle finger for?
That's asking for it.
And I knew he was there. Just anyway,
just pass him.
But he had a quota. I'm sure he had a quota to meet.
You gave him the finger.
Yeah.
Yes, he gets quota is give a ticket to everyone that gives him a finger.
Exactly right. That's the quota.
If I could give tickets, that would be my quota, too.
Yeah, really.
So anyway.
All right, Joe, you're in the running.
Okay, thank you very much, guys.
Joe's all right.
That's funny.
Right,
Can't understand why he pulled me over and gave me the finger.
What's the law with the license plate thing? I see people have the tinted covers. And
you're not supposed to have those.
Right, so you can get pulled over if you have one of those?
Yeah, look, if you're going to give a cop a middle finger, make sure all your stuff is straight.
Yeah, right. And your pockets are clean of drugs.
Yeah.
You better make sure everything's to the letter of the law.
Yeah, take the body out of the trunk, too.
So Fox had to be really bummed.
They were great. They were actually really proud. I guess would have to be sad, because it was working great. But
now, are they going to replace you? They're going to get someone else?
Unknown. That, like I said,
a question mark.
That news director is very dynamic and willing to take chances. And
I heard Gary McNamara was at the door like 5 seconds after
with a resume.
He's
hello. Hello.
I think Chief Mac's pretty comfortable where he is.
Yeah, no, he's having a good time over there.
Gotcha.
Being security for
college campus.
Yeah, right.
A little cart with a yellow light.
White socks and patent leather shoes. Awesome.
I love Gary. We kid because we love
him. Yes.
All right. We're asking you to call in your police encounters, and Brian's judging them, and someone's going to win David Crosby and Friends tickets coming to the Richfield Playhouse Friday, June 7th. You call the Heyman Law. We'll pick you up contest line. See how this all dovetails together?
Look at that.
1-877-764-2535. Now, we're in the middle of a story being told by Ryan and Seymour. He's less than a mile away from Burger King. He's drunk. His friend's on weed. And
what could go wrong?
Went to McDonald's.
What did we decide, Ryan? Your buddy's going to drive, or you're going to drive?
He was going to drive. Okay. Yeah. So he drives to the McDonald's. We load up on food, and we're driving back through the Adams parking lot. I decided to try to go smash a window out, not breaking. So.
Now, why would you? Let's go with the decision.
Because it's a good idea at the time. Yeah.
So what was with that decision?
He kind of bet me, kind of dared me to do it. You know, I'm drunk, he's high, so
right.
I was the perfect candidate for it.
Right.
Okay, you're hungry, you get McDonald's, and the McDonald's is still in the truck? Like
we got bags and we got the receipt. The receipt was the big
job player. One is to eat before it gets cold.
Yes,
no?
Exactly.
Yeah, fries especially.
Cold, yes.
Yeah,
cold and fries, the burgers. Cold Big Mac, all suck.
Yeah, you want that, no?
Yeah. Yep, so we're riding through. The window tries to get smashed. Cop is pulling. He's, like, pulling down the street. He clearly sees
it. So we go from getting the food to, like, seeing was it a car or a pickup truck?
A truck. It was a box truck parked in the back. It's always parked in the back.
Oh, okay. Right. So like, I bet you can't break that window.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, exactly. So cop sees it. He pulls right in front of the truck, and, like, you know, we're like, oh, man, we're fucked. So he pulls us right out of the vehicle, and the buddy that's driving, he doesn't have a valid license. He didn't have a valid license at the time. So he was so quick to pull us out of the vehicle that he didn't check any of our IDs or anything. He didn't see if he had a driver's license. He just handcuffed us and put us right on the floor, right on the asphalt. And before you know it, there's Ansonia Derby cops there. There must have been five squad cars. I'm not even.
Yeah, he just said McDonald's in the car.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in handcuffs. I need five cars here. But
they were on their way there anyway.
So they inspect the window. There's no damage, and they were like, yeah, it's your truck. So you're driving, and I was like, really? And they were like, yeah. So they put me behind the wheel. And I'm hammered. And then they follow me home. They were witnessing a DUI the entire time. I get inside. Me and my buddy get inside. We're eating the McDonald's. The cop's talking to my dad outside, telling him what happened or whatever. And, yeah, that was it, man. They just pretty much let...
Well, you got really lucky.
It's really lucky.
I have a feeling if you have a bat in your car... Like, that's not the first time you thought, let's pop out a window.
Yeah, maybe it was a wiffle ball.
Yeah, it was a Ford F-150. I used it for dump runs all the time. It was pretty much a garbage truck. It always had an aluminum bat in the back.
And what's the bat? What was the bat for?
It was my Little League bat, a Louisville Slugger.
So you used it for Little League?
In case of game broke.
Little League, and but I've moved on to bigger, better things now. I'm a change man.
Good.
Yeah.
Softball bats.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. You're in the running for the tickets. Thank you, brother.
Awesome, man. Love the show.
Thank you.
Listen to you every morning, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for finally calling.
Thanks, Ryan.
Of course. I'll call more.
Okay, cool. Good. Right. Chris in Hamden was tasered. What happened?
What's up,
now,
guys?
when you hear that, Brian, what do you think?
I just visualize
the dance.
Yeah, the act. Right.
And even your audience, you know, drunk, stoned, taser, sounds like
fun. These are the folks who are calling in with this particular phone.
These are future
now,
leaders.
We also have a doctor coming on this hour.
Right,
brain surgeon. We have you in studio.
Right.
We have lots of folks calling.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so what happened to you? You got tased.
All right, so long story short, we were at a party all night.
But let me guess a couple things. One, someone told you to do something that was in a uniform, and you didn't do it.
Did not comply.
Well, I mean, that was the end story, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Usually right before you get tasered, the cop says, stop doing what you're doing.
They say, taser.
And then you don't, and then you get tased.
Right.
Go ahead.
There were multiple cops telling me to stop doing what I was doing, but I left this party, and somebody was passing out pills. I was young and dumb then, and we did a bunch of Klonopins and Xanax. And I left the party about 12 o'clock, and on my way home, I saw a street bike in the driveway, and I didn't want to walk, so I attempted to steal the street bike.
Hmm.
And I don't recall any of this. I'm just going off of what I read from the police reports and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, so I attempted to steal the street bike, and I checked the vehicle that was on the property to see if the keys were in there, maybe. I don't know. You know, sometimes people leave them in there, I guess.
This is an important safety tip.
Right.
Right.
Lock your cars.
Right. Lock your cars.
Take your keys out there. Yeah.
Yep. It's right. If you have a motorcycle, don't leave it in the driveway.
TSA.
You can pull it behind the house.
Right. Yeah.
Because people...
Don't do Klonopin.
People like Chris right. might be walking around.
Together.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Gotcha.
Go ahead. So, you know, I'm like in this vehicle, and I end up finding a bag, and it's got a badge in it and a baton and
Rutrow.
Oops.
And I'm like, I find out later on it's New Haven police. Yeah, it's a New Haven police officer stuff. And I ended up stealing his street bike, and I'm hiding behind my friend's house trying to figure out how to hotwire this thing.
Wait.
Never hotwired.
Wait, where's the like what in a saddlebag?
He just rolled it away.
Was it in a saddlebag?
I took the bike and just rolled it down the street to my friend's house who lived like four houses away.
Where
from
was the badge and all that?
Oh, it was inside the guy's truck on his driveway.
Oh, I got you. All right, so you're checking the truck for the keys, and then you're like, oh,
I'll go with the bike. Yeah,
but I'm still gonna steal the bike.
Listen, I like I said, I don't remember any of this, and I don't get in trouble anymore. So
right,
okay,
right.
Gotcha.
Now you're a judge, yes.
So I'm behind my buddy's house, and apparently his mom called the police on me, and I wasn't aware of this. Now, you know, somehow it became 6 o'clock in the morning, and she's like, I'm calling the police. So now I push the bike out front like an idiot. I'm asking neighbors to give me a jump start. And a first squad car comes around the corner, a second one comes, and then all of a sudden there's 5 of them, so I take off running. Now his backyard butts up to the Merritt Parkway, so I run through the river. I jump over the guardrail, and I'm standing there waiting for rush hour traffic to not hit me. Somehow
this
I get
could
to the
be horrible.
Mm.
Yeah, this it could have ended with me dying instead of tased and could
have.
Handcuffed.
Yeah, and you couldn't call in, but yeah.
Yeah, so I'm standing now. I make it across to the middle median, and I'm standing on the Jersey barrier, like just taunting the police, like haha, you can't catch me. I run to the other side. I run to the other side of the highway. I fall down the embankment. I jump up. I land in a river the second time I fall. Now I'm running through another neighborhood. 4 squad cars come around the corner, and they're all yelling at me because the cops in my town know me from, you know, running on my dirt bike and such.
Right.
And they're all yelling, Chris, just lay down. We don't want to chase you. So I'm starting to run again, and I grab this fence, and I go to launch myself over the fence, and the first taser nails me.
Oh.
And I'm still scurrying over the fence, and the second cop didn't know the first cop deployed a taser already because he wasn't listening, and he shot me with the taser, too. So now I'm holding on to a metal fence, being tased by 2 sets of tasers.
8 birds died.
Yeah, really. Right, yeah. And 4 pieces of toast. Yeah. It looked like popcorn kernels.
The lights went out in the Merritt.
<All right. laughs> Yeah, lights went down in the Merritt.
Right. What happened over here?
Pam reported on it, if you remember.
My color maker doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I finally peel myself off the fence. I fell off, and I ended up landing in a puddle, and I'm still being tased.
Oh.
Not a fish are being fried.
Get a
breakfast.
Wow.
Kippers.
I ended up waking up in Yale, and I have no clue what's going on. I have a hand shackled to the bed and my ankle shackled to the bed and 2 cops from my town.
Kinky.
Who hasn't had that happen?
All right.
Some people prefer that.
That was a good evening.
It was Yale, the campus, not the hospital.
I look at the 2 cops in my room, and one of them's this super hot Mexican cop from our town, and I'm like, oh, this is great. And I'm like,
wait, hold on. What's the sound?
What was his name?
Hamden.
What was that?
I'm from Hamden.
Right. Okay. And what was the police officer's name?
I forget her name. I know she's our property officer.
Oh, her. Okay. We know something totally different.
Okay.
Now, right,
so you
that.
Were very happy.
I mean, I was happy for a second until they told me what I did, and they pumped my stomach and all that stuff. And the cherry on top was the New Haven police officer whose stuff I stole. He walks in the room, and this guy is 6'8", the biggest, meanest, blackest cop I've ever met in my life. And he just looks at me, and he goes, I should have known it was going to be a stupid white boy.
No. Just handcuff the bed.
There you go.
I like how all this is happening, and Brian just starts putting cookie dough in his mouth. Like, I am out of this
another
break
day.
Right
this,
now.
This is why he is where he is.
I'm not here.
I'm going back to Fox 61.
There more of that in there?
He's investigating. It's okay.
When you were saying that, he just took a big lump of cookie dough, stuck it in his mouth, and was like, yep, I'm done.
Yeah. I don't want to know.
Fully out.
All right. You're in the running for the tickets. I love that you're not in trouble anymore, and you turned your life around.
Yes.
Trying to.
We thank you.
Oh, every time I hear a story about being tased, I love the difference between the defiant moment and then a half a second later you're saying, please stop, stop, stop.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to stop. Ah, help, 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 help.
I'm not going to stop peeing myself.
I'm in the hospital.
Do you have some audio of someone being tased? don't tase me, bro. All right. Oh, yeah.
Mm.
It's not pleasant.
Nope.
I've never been tased.
Keep it that way.
I don't want to be.
Keep it that way.
Nope.
Yeah. Mm. No, I've seen enough people on the show get tased.
Yep. Me neither.
Two people so
far. You had to train and get tased, right?
Right. You have the option. We had the option. If you wanted the taser, you had to get tased.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm good. You know, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm
I don't need a taser.
Yeah, I'll just shoot somebody. I don't care.
I'm not good with any of that
stuff. I'd rather have mace or something like that.
Yeah. Very good with a pepper spray. Right. Exactly. That was my philosophy.
Yeah. All right, Brian, thank you for coming in. We're very happy for your success.
Yes.
And, well, we hope we could still talk to you.
Did we pick a winner?
Oh, well, that's your job.
Yeah.
Who do you like?
I think I like the last guy. What do you think?
Yeah. Chris Hamden?
Him or Joe?
Yeah.
The middle finger.
He went through so much.
Yeah,
he went through so much.
That was a hell of a night.
He deserves a break.
Yeah. All right, so that's it. He got it.
All right.
Hey, thank you, brother.
Thanks, guys.
All right,
love you.
Brian Foley. How to fix your brain. Dr. Lewis, retired Army colonel, on the show now. So fish oil and hemp oil can help with anxiety, depression, and concussions.
Absolutely. You know, initially it was for heart health, and then it started to expand a little bit more into mental health. And now it's, getting more into the physical trauma of the brain, as well as the insults of stress and chronic fatigue and all these other things that can affect our mental health.
What about ways to improve your memory? Is there stuff you can take to improve your memory?
There's lots of things that
I like how you asked the question twice.
In case you forgot.
What was the question again?
You heard me.
You know, honestly, the best thing for memory is, you know, think of the brain as like a muscle. And if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. So really, the best thing for your memory is to exercise that memory muscle.
And what about brain foods? What's here about brain foods?
They're definitely brain-friendly foods, and fish oil and hemp oil are a good place to start.
Have you put together a diet, like, based on, you know, your knowledge? Is there, you know, a Dr. Lewis What to Eat book?
There isn't. Maybe that's an idea for another book.
Yeah.
I'll give you credit for that
one. We get the first copy.
No, I would love that because, you know so much about this. There's a lot of information. I would love it boiled down into. Look, let me give you more advice on this book. You don't want it to be too long.
No,
you want pictures.
Lots of pictures,
right? And just simple lists. Like, look here. On Monday, eat this.
Right.
Tuesday, eat this.
Right.
Give me an example of. You know, you went to this country and somehow in their diet get a lot of fish oil and hemp oil, and we found them to be brighter. Blah 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 blah. Do you have any research like that?
The fish-eating societies or cultures are all really well-known, particularly if, like, you get out into the islands around Okinawa and such. Iceland, the Maldives, you know, think of island nations. But it's societies that eat a lot more seafood than we do as Americans. Americans, we don't eat a whole lot of seafood.
No, fillet of fish maybe.
So you look at the levels of omega-6s, which are not so good, and omega-3s, which are very good. If you look at, say, in a Japanese population, they're very different blood levels, and they have tremendously different and better, say, heart attack rates or just overall mortality.
Right. Rate. So people that eat these diets live longer, are brighter. Do they have better hair?
I heard something about that.
No, actually, you're right. Man, better skin, better hair.
Yeah, it's the fish oil, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's the fish oil. Plus, you know, if you're living on an island in Greece, you know, it doesn't hurt to be in the ocean every once in a while.
This is true, yes.
How much fish oil should, how do you break that down? Do you break it down by weight, age, a little bit of both?
A little bit of both. I mean, if you want to look at it in a more simplistic way, is whatever fish oil you have in the cabinet or pick up on the shelf, whatever it recommends, double it, because it's probably not enough.
Gotcha.
Oh, really? Huh.
Right. The recommended daily dose, double it.
Double it.
That's probably the easiest way to
okay.
do it.
Does anchovies count?
Anchovies are great. They're a great source.
Really?
Anchovies and sardines are great sources of omega-3s.
All right.
And the Pacific Northwest, salmon.
Now, will that fish oil grow your hair back? Like, if I start taking that, will I get hair back?
Only if you rub it on your head. No, I'm just kidding.
You smell like fish, though.
I'm going to connect it to my well. I'm taking fish oil showers.
You may not want to try that one.
Yeah, the cats will be following you home.
All right, any chance the hair comes back or no?
I'm not sure that there's any science behind that.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna punt on that one.
Need a hair duck for that one, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to try it. I'll let you know. I'm going to do the research on that one for you, Doc.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
All right. Anything else?
Well, I would say if people want to learn more, I've got a book out on Amazon, When Brains Collide. And it's really about how to use omega-3s and hemp oil, you know, fish oil and hemp oil, help people recover or even prevent concussions.
Did you do this research and say to yourself, man, how does everybody not know this by now? And the world would be a better place if everyone knew what was in my book.
You know, you just hit the million-dollar question. I mean, I when I first had this content, to me it was really obvious, but I was coming at it from a very outside point of view. I'm looking at it saying, why doesn't everybody know this? Why isn't this being done? And it's because they don't understand it.
So did you have like one of these moments like, oh my God, when I release this information, the world is going to change.
Oh my God.
I just like cracked the secret to like anxiety and stress and depression.
Maybe here.
And we're going to take, and the veterans coming back and people and like all this. And it's, I can't wait to get this out. And then you're
I've been saying that for 12 years, and I'm still excited. I say I'm still stupid enough to think that I can change the world, and damn it, I'm going to continue to try.
Well, thank you for your service, one, to the country.
Yes, thank you.
But two, to humanity.
Yeah, man.
With this book.
You're good, you.
So we're going to link it up at WPLR.com. The book is called When Brains Collide. And we highly recommend you get this book.
Absolutely.
This is, if you have kids who play sports,
right,
or if you're fat.
One of the two.
Or if you want to grow, your hair.
Whatever
or
it
if you have anxiety.
Whatever it takes.
Or if you have depression.
Right. Well, you
how could you not want this book?
Well, now we just covered 95% of the population, didn't
right.
we?
Right. So everyone needs to go out and buy this book. So thank you, Dr. Michael Lewis. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.